Father, we do want to thank you for your word. We are absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit bringing life to the word and speaking to our hearts and enabling us to respond to what you're saying to us. So, Father, we just want to commit ourselves completely into your hand this morning. Will you grant that precious anointing of your Holy Spirit upon both the speaker and listeners? Lord, be with us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, just first of all, to remind you of the verse in Psalm chapter 50. This is the verse from which we're taking our series currently. We've had about 3 or 4 Sundays on this already. And it's Psalm 50, verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. I'll say that again. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. And it's out of Zion. Zion in Scripture speaks of the city of Zion. It speaks of the people of Israel, but also speaks by implication of the people of God today. Not that we have replaced Israel, friends. Let that be in your mind for a moment. Scripture makes it very clear God is not finished with Israel. And we've heard some prayers this morning along those lines. But we have been grafted in by the mercy and the grace of God. But as the people of Zion, God is wanting to shine forth from Zion and through his people. And we've been looking at something of the beauty, of the perfection of beauty that is in Zion. Not because there's any beauty in us as his people, naturally. Any beauty in us is because God has put it there. It's because of his Son who lives in us. And we looked at the beauty of the body the last couple of weeks. We're going to look at the beauty of the branches today. So John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. I'm going to read the first, I think, 16 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it bears more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. And we're looking at this beauty of the branches, because the beauty in the branches clearly are the church, you and I, those who believe are put into Christ, and this is the branches are those that are in Christ. So if you're not in Christ this morning, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot bear fruit that is pleasing to God. There is no beauty in you that can come through you that can shine forth to the world. It's only Christ that can provide that beauty. And I was just struck recently from Esther, just been reading Esther recently, how the king wanted to display the beauty of his queen. And I'll just read this to you. You have to turn to this. Is Esther 1 and verse 11. And the king was throwing a big party. It lasted many days. The grand king. And on the seventh day, the king commanded to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to display her beauty. to the people and the princes, for she was beautiful. That's how God regards his church. God wants to display us, not because of who we are, but because of his splendor and his beauty that dwells in us. Now, unfortunately, there are things that get in the way of that. And sometimes when the world sees us, it's not often or sometimes the beauty of Christ that they see. But that is what God wants. That is his desire for you and for me as the branches that are in Christ. He wants to display something of that beauty to the world around, to others around. And we'll see a bit more of that in a second. So we are the branches. Back to John 15. It says, I am the true vine. It's interesting that Jesus put that word true in there. I am the true vine, which by implication means there are counterfeit vines. There are those who will proclaim to provide what Christ can provide, but cannot. There is no possibility of bearing any fruit, any beauty, if we are joined to anything other than the true vine. Christ alone is the true vine. There's many things that we can join ourselves to. I'm sure you could think of lots of things. But there is only the possibility of bearing fruit if we are joined to Christ and remain in him. So beware of counterfeit vines, those who would have us join in. And what tends to happen is then we start imbibing things from that vine. You see, the nutrients provided to the branches come through the vine. All the goodness of the vine comes to the branches, but it comes through the vine. And if we are joining ourselves to anything other than Christ, what happens is we start imbibing things. So just take the world, for example. If we join ourselves in heart to the world, or something in the world, the music of the world, for example, you name it, then what starts to happen is we start to imbibe something of the influence of the world. And we then produce fruit that displays something of what's in the world. So instead of seeing Christ in us, people will see other fruit in us. That rather than glorifying God, it will glorify the world. And sadly, we see this in a great scale in the church. We see a worldliness, and the fruit that is often produced is not of Christ. So let's be warned, Christ is the true vine, friends. It's him we need to be joined to. And we need to guard against joining to anything else. And of course, we can tell who we are joined to by the kind of fruit that we produce. Let me just read this from Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart, get that right, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. You see, we are known by the fruit that we produce. What is influencing us? What is having an effect upon our lives and producing things out of our lives will tell us or tell others where we are, who we are joined to, and what is filling our hearts, what is in us. And and that fruit, back to John 15, what is it speaking of? What is the fruit that we are speaking of here? There are various things, of course. It primarily speaks of godly character, the character. And if we go to Galatians 5, we have a long list there of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that God is looking for in the life of a believer, those characteristics that he is looking to form in us. And we need to look at ourselves from time to time and say, well, what fruit is God producing in us? But it's more than characteristics, it's more than that fruit of our character. It's what our lives produce. In that chapter in Luke 6, it's what comes out of the mouth. That tells us an awful lot, doesn't it? What comes out of the mouth of someone, where they are. So when we're in a bit of a pickle, what comes out of our mouth? Well, what's filling our heart? Because what's filling our heart will often dictate what comes out of our mouth. And the fruit of our mouth will show what is in our heart. So the fruit of our labours. So this isn't just about character, but primarily it is, but it's more than that. It's the fruit of what we produce. It's the things that come out of our lives. It's what our lives produce. So that's the beauty that God is looking for in all these areas. Now I'm going to look at two main things this morning. How is this fruit produced? Because when we talk of the beauty of the branches, we are talking about the fruit of the branches. A branch doesn't do anything on a fruit tree unless it produces fruit. If it's just there and does nothing, it's good for nothing. And it's quite sobering here to see what happens to the branches that are not producing anything. Quite sobering. Remember, these are branches that are in Christ. What happens to them? They are moved away. Meditate upon that. Go and consider that. But I want to look at how we can produce fruit, because God is looking for you and I to produce fruit, which is the perfection of beauty, which is proclaiming Christ, which is speaking of Him, which is telling those around us that Christ is in us and He's at work in our lives. Well, then we're going to look at something of the qualities and the purpose of that fruit and of the beauty of the fruit. So let's have a look first of all. It's pretty clear really from this passage how we're going to bear fruit. The word comes up time and again. It's by abiding in Christ. It's by remaining in the position that Christ has put us in Him. Not deviating from that position. Not looking elsewhere. Not moving away from Him. It is by abiding in Christ. What does it mean to abide? It means basically to live in obedience to Christ. It means to live in a place of trust in Him. It means to live in fellowship with Him. So abiding in Christ is being in a place of fellowship with Him. It is possible, friends, for the believer to move out of fellowship with Christ and be in a place where that fruit that he is bearing stops growing. Let's guard against that. Very easy in our day and age to be distracted away from our pure devotion to Christ. There are so many things that will pull us away. And if our hearts are not centered upon Him, if we're not giving Him our time and submitting to Him, submitting to His word, we can very easily be drawn aside. So friends, let's remain in the place of fellowship with Him. To abide in Christ is to remain in fellowship, is to be in the place of obedience. So when He says something, we listen, we give heed, we respond. That's keeping us then in that place of abiding. And let's be careful not to wander away. There are instances in Scripture, even in the New Testament, of those who wandered away. We read one or two in the New Testament. There's one example, 2 Timothy 4 verse 10, talks of Demas, who loved this present age and deserted Paul. And by implication, we take it that he left something of the faith as well. He loved the present age. Well, how do you regard the present age, friends? It's very easy to fall in love with this age, isn't it? It's very appealing to the flesh. The message that the world gives, even secular humanism, it has an appeal to it, a lure to it. But when we weigh it up against the word of God, it is pretty rubbish. The tragedy is we won't weigh it against the word of God. We won't put it against the plumb line of God's word. And therefore we're very easily taken in by it. So let's guard against not being those Demases that are wandering away because of love for the present age. Verse in Hosea 4, verse 1 as well, talks about those being joined to idols as well. Let's be careful not to be joined to anything that can draw us away from that place of abiding. Friends, fruit is produced in the believer's life by abiding in Christ. When we become a believer in Christ, that does not mean that automatically fruit will come. God expects us to abide in Him. He expects us to remain in the place of fellowship with Him. It's not automatic. But if we abide in Him, if we remain in that place of obedience, trusting, fruit is automatic then. That's the wonderful thing. We haven't got to try and work fruit up. We haven't got to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to bear some fruit today. I'm going to really bear some fruit of, I'm going to love somebody a bit more today. If you're not abiding in Christ, it ain't going to happen, friends. Because the Lord has a good way of putting us in a place where things can go wrong. And we then see what's really at work in our hearts and our lives. And if we're not abiding, we will come short. You see, the fruit, the natural fruit in our life, and there is natural fruit in our life. Some of you can be very lovely people. Some of you have a lot of patience. I don't. Some of you can be very merciful naturally. You know, some of these are natural. They're natural things in us. But you know what? Natural fruit has limitations. It can go so far. I can be a very loving person, but I can love someone so far. And when they go beyond that place, wow, can I stop loving them? But you see, Christ, the fruit that comes from Christ, there's no limit to that, friends. It goes way beyond natural fruit. It gives us the ability to love the unlovable. It gives us the ability to be patient where we should never be patient. It gives us the ability to be joyful when we should never be joyful. When all the circumstances around us are saying, you should be in despair. But because of what Christ is doing in us, because of the beauty he's forming in us, because of the fruit he's forming in us, we're able to be full of these things. So when we talk of fruit here, it's nothing to do with our natural ability, friends. They are sorely limited. In fact, it can be quite a hindrance if we are gifted in a certain area. Because then we can tend to rely upon that, can't we? Yeah, and then God has to do a lot to show us and put us in some very difficult positions to make us realize that that's not enough. We need what's from him. We need all that comes through the vine. All that comes through the true vine. All those nutrients. All that sustenance that comes through Christ. We need it, friends. If we're going to live and be the perfection of beauty that he wants us to be. So abiding, this is the first thing. Second thing comes out here is the pruning. The pruning. Now the pruning doesn't produce the fruit per se, but what it does is it promotes new growth. Let's read that verse where the pruning comes in. Verse 2, every branch that bears fruit, so there's already fruit being produced. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. So rejoice if you're bearing fruit in Christ, friends, but beware, or not beware, be aware that God will prune you. And he only prunes you because he wants you to bear more fruit. Isn't that marvellous? God loves it when we start bearing fruit, but he loves it even more when we bear more fruit. When there's a fullness to that fruit, a maturity to that fruit. Because that again is speaking of what he's doing. Glory goes to God when that happens. Now pruning needs something sharp. Let's read on. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word. That word clean is also the word for pruning. Follows on from verse 2. He prunes it so it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned or clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. There's one sure way of you and I being pruned, friends. And that is the word of God. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Now when I talk about the word of God there, I also mean the response to God's word. God's word is sharp, but we need to respond to it. As God's word comes and penetrates our hearts and judges thoughts and attitudes of our heart. So as you're giving yourself to God's word, if you're not doing that, friends, you will not be pruned. If you neglect this book, you will know little fruit in your life. I can guarantee it. I've seen it far too often in believers' lives where this word is neglected. And there's little fruit that comes forth. But if we give ourselves to the Lord and give ourselves to his word and allow him to speak to our hearts, and as we hear what he's saying and respond to that, then what happens is God puts his finger on things. He shows things in our lives that need dealing with. And then God can deal with them once we agree with him. But we have to agree with him. And God can use lots of things in our lives to prune us, to deal with us. But it's the word where it starts, friends. So let's don't neglect agreeing with God and thinking that pruning isn't for us. We need the pruning, friend. God is wanting to bear more fruit in our lives. Moving on. Jeremiah 4 talks about that circumcision of the heart. And God wants to cut away from our hearts and our lives things that are offensive to Him. Attitudes in our lives. Things that can impair and hinder what Christ is trying to do in our lives. See, as we are joined to the vine, what is happening is, just as the Lord Jesus, when He lived on this earth, did nothing, unless it was initiated by the Father. All that we see Jesus doing is because the Father and Jesus were one. That is where God wants to bring us. We are to be one with Him. As we are one with Him, the Lord is able to do things in our life, produce fruit in us, and display His beauty through us. But there are things that would try and impair that unity, that oneness. Things in our hearts that need to be dealt with. Things that need to be cut off. And that's why in Jeremiah 4, God is speaking to His people, circumcise your hearts. Cut away those things that I hate. And there will be things in our lives that need cutting away. You may not even see some of them at the moment. But you see, this is the wonder of our walk with God. If we are walking with Him, if we are in His Word, God can show us things. He can expose things. I suspect we are aware of some things in our lives. But God wants us to deal with those, cutting away those things that are offensive to Him. Cutting away those wrong desires. Cutting away those selfish aims. Cutting away those doubts that we have of Him. All those things that can fill our hearts. Let's be sure, friends, that the nutrients, the things that God wants to fill our lives with, can get to our hearts, get to our lives, because other things have been cut away. And then Ezekiel 19. So we need to be pruned. We need to abide in Christ. We also need Ezekiel 19, verse 10. And it says this. Again, this is talking about Israel. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the waters. It was fruitful and full of branches. Oh, how God loved it when Israel produced fruit. And one day again, it will. In fact, you notice that today, something of, in a natural sense, God is filling the world with fruit from Israel. That's a prophecy in the Bible as well. We see that happening naturally, but one day spiritually as well. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant waters. There was a fruitfulness because of abundant waters. That speaks, friends, of the Holy Spirit. And it talked there in that passage in Ezekiel of being planted by the waters. God has planted us in Christ. And we are to receive of the Holy Spirit constantly. We are to be filled with the Spirit. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then go on being filled with the Spirit. If we're not filled with the Spirit, our fruitfulness will be limited. I can guarantee it. There'll be a limit to the kinds of fruit that we can produce. The size, the maturity of the fruit. And I don't know about you, but if you were at the baptism of Pass recently, Harry brought in those two groups of grapes. Did you see them? One was very small, but the other was large. Mature, fullness, speaking of the life of Christ. Friends, that's where the Lord wants us to be. Receiving of the abundance of His Spirit. So again, it comes back to fellowship with Him. It comes back to being filled with His Spirit. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, seek the Lord for that. Go on then being filled with the Spirit. We read of that in Acts. The disciples went on being filled with the Spirit. And there's a command in Ephesians. Be being filled with the Spirit. Command that we have. Because the Lord knows you and I cannot produce things from our lives in our own strength that will please Him. There's nothing beautiful in me. Ask others, they'll tell you. Save what the Lord has done. Save what the Lord is doing. There's nothing beautiful, I'm afraid to say, friends, in you. Save what the Lord is doing. The beauty, the natural beauty that you have or I have is limited. It in fact is decaying. hence the wrinkles and the other things as well. In fact, that's a wonderful argument against that lie of evolution, the second law of thermodynamics, which says everything is in a state of decay. Everything is in a downward spiral. We're going down. Evolution needs increased information. But all we see around us is decrease in information. That is the universal law, the second law of thermodynamics. But it's true for you and I as well. We are physically going down. Spiritually we're going up. And there's a wonderful verse, I don't think I jotted this down, in 2 Corinthians, saying we are, although outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. What a hope we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the fruit that God is working into you now is not limited or restricted by your age. Caleb was 80 when he went up into the hills. A man who was faithful to God. God used him, even in his old age. God was producing things from his life that was displaying the splendor of the God of Israel. And God wants to do the same for you and I as well, friends. Moving on, we're running out of time. What are the qualities or the purposes for this fruit? Just a few things here. And we've mentioned some of these things already. The first and the prime goal of you and I being fruitful is that God can be glorified. God is wanting to be glorified because of who he is. Because of who he is. Only God deserves glory. You and I don't. It's God who merits the glory. And we read again and again, I won't return to this verse, but Acts 4 verse 13 talks about the disciples, Peter and, I think it's Peter and John. They were arrested, they were taken before the Sanhedrin, before the Pharisees, and accused and threatened and so on. And they spoke with such strength and confidence. That wasn't natural strength, friends. That was something of the beauty of Christ in them. A strength that God gave them, a confidence that God gave them to speak with the confidence of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, what did they say? They took note that these men had been with Christ. You see, they took note that these men had been with Christ. When you and I are producing the fruit that God wants us to produce, people will take note of it. And they will take note that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not be with him physically, but we are with him spiritually. One with Christ. And when you and I produce that fruit, when the beauty of the fruit is seen, people will take note. God will be glorified. That's the first thing. God is glorified. The second thing, in that chapter 15 of John, verse 16, we read this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. And that you would, and that your fruit would remain. Your fruit would remain. The fruit that God is working in us is lasting fruit. It is eternal fruit. God is working things into us for eternity. Isn't that wonderful? God is producing in us those things that will last. And there's a verse at the beginning of our time when Bethel was formed in Psalm 90 verse 70. I'll read that again because it's worth reminding ourselves something of what the Lord has spoken to us in the past. And it says this, 90 verse 17. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm or give permanence. So confirm for us the work of our hands and confirm the work of our hands. That word confirm means give permanence to. God is not in the habit of doing transient things. God gives permanence to things that he's involved in. His salvation is eternal. The fruit that he's working into our lives is eternal. God is not like you and I. He wants to do things that will last. Because when he does things that will last, it will be seen that it's of him. It's not a natural thing. So the second quality, if you like, it's a lasting fruit. It's a lasting beauty. It's a beauty that never fades. The beauty of the branches does not fade. With time, with pressure, being in a time of famine, if you like, because it's planted by those abundant waters. Thirdly, the beauty, and I suppose this is a follow-on from that, actually improves with age. As we get older, there should be more fruit, more maturing of the fruit. It isn't that we get to a certain age in my Christian life and say, well, I've reached 70 now, or I've reached 60, that's retirement age. I'm not going to produce any more fruit. The wonderful thing about being in the kingdom of God, there is no limit to the fruit that you can bear. And if you're on this earth and you've got breath in you, then God wants you to produce fruit. That's the end of it. There's no argument to that, friends. If you have breath in your body, God is wanting you to produce more fruit. He is wanting to go on pruning you so that you can produce fruit that is full, that speaks of the fullness of Christ. So this fruit is full. And then I've touched on this as well, these things I've already mentioned, but I'll mention this again. The fruit will touch others. You see, the purpose of the fruit that we are to bear in our lives is not only to bring God glory, but it is to affect others. So others can come into the kingdom of God and be joined to Christ and start to bear fruit to the glory of God. That has been the way of it since the gospel started. And it has not changed today. God is still wanting you and I to produce that fruit that will speak of Him, that will touch the lives of others, that others will then lay a hold of Christ for themselves and then experience the joy, the wonder of knowing Him and bearing that fruit that will also touch others again. So friends, can I encourage you and myself as well this morning, remain in Christ. Don't allow yourself to deviate or be distracted from your devotion to Him. Stay in fellowship with Him. And when He's pruning you, work with Him. Don't kick against the goads, as Paul was told. Work with Him. Because the Lord is working something beautiful in your life. He's wanting to produce fruit that is full and will give glory to Him. Let's pray.